Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The country's first private high-speed rail service is opening this month in Florida. It'll go from West Palm Beach to Fort Lauderdale and will expand to Miami early next year. It could go to Orlando in the future. The trains will run on new tracks built alongside existing freight tracks. Joining us now is John Rennie, who is director of the Center for Urban and Environmental Solutions at Florida Atlantic University. He is outside in West Palm Beach. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And are you surprised that this is finally happening?
No, it's not a surprise. It's been in the works for quite some time. And honestly, I think the project is kind of inevitable in some ways. We have a lot of traffic congestion in South Florida. I went to Miami last week for a meeting, and I literally spent 5 hours commuting to and from Miami in a car. Traffic was just absolutely terrible. And so I think a project like this is very welcomed and timely.
And how long would it take you to get to Miami once this train finally opens all the way to Miami?
From West Palm Beach to Miami, once you get on the train, it will take 60 minutes.
Wow. So why do you think that it actually is happening now? Because this has been tried a lot in a lot of different places around the country, people wanting to have a high-speed rail connection, and it hasn't worked out in the end.
Well, it's the first time that it's happening, being built by a private company, and that company is incorporating real estate development at the stations. And that's kind of a game changer for this type of model. It, believe it or not, was the kind of thing that happened back in the 1800s and early 1900s in the United States. But at one point, probably around the 1920s or 30s, we began to turn all of our public transportation providers over to the public sector. And when that happened, we lost the connection between the development around the stations and the rail service itself. And we started building a lot of parking lots around the stations. And when you start building parking lots around the stations, it disincentivizes people to use it, because once, you know, they can't walk to the destinations, they have to drive. Once they're in their car, they might as well just, you know, drive the whole way. Of course, we also didn't have as much traffic back then as we do now, and that's another significant difference.
But you're saying that the private developer here is kind of hedging its bets, because if it can't make enough money on the train itself, maybe it can make enough money on the real estate that is next to the stations.
Typically, the research shows that the transportation service itself rarely makes a profit. It can in some circumstances. But when you combine the real estate and development opportunities with the transportation service, you can actually get to a very profitable outcome.
What kind of opposition did this project face? Because in other places, like in Texas, where they're trying to build a high-speed rail line from Dallas to Houston, one of the problems has been every little tiny town along the way wants to have its own stop, which sort of defeats the purpose of a high-speed connection.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And so when you're a private company, you don't have to be as concerned with pleasing all the local municipalities along the way. But in terms of opposition, most of the opposition has come from people's fears that they're going to be sitting at the rail crossings with lots of trains, you know, going up and down the corridor each day. The train line is already in operations as a pretty busy freight corridor. I live a block and a half from it, and there are very long freight trains that are over a mile long that go through that corridor all day and night. And so people are already accustomed to having to wait. The difference is that these trains are going to go fast, and it doesn't take more than literally 10 or 15 seconds for the train to go by. So there will be slightly inconvenience moments where people will have to wait at the crossings, but it's not very long, and I don't think it's going to have a major impact on traffic.
Do you think that this project finally opening is going to spur other places to work on their own privately funded high-speed rail projects?
I have to say, I think so, because the reality is that the freight lines have this potential to service passenger trains, particularly in congested metropolitan regions of the country, and they could potentially build housing if they do it themselves or work with other developers, because most of these same regions that have high levels of traffic congestion, like South Florida, also have affordability problems with their housing. Housing is super expensive. So when you build new housing in these particular locations, they are in high demand from the people that want to live close by.
By the way, we've been using the term high-speed rail. It's not really high-speed rail the way that you would talk about high-speed rail in Japan or China, is it?
No. And it's funny because in Japan or China, the trains go, you know, almost 200 or more miles per hour. Here, you know, the trains are going to max out at 120 or 130 miles an hour between West Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale into Miami, well, I think would be about 80 miles an hour. But ironically, they call it higher speed rail, even though it's slower than the high speed rail we see overseas.
So the state of Florida didn't have to put money up for this project, but do you think that it'll benefit from it?
Absolutely. I think everyone's going to benefit from it. I think the certainly the local economies around these particular station areas are already benefiting from it. I live in West Palm Beach, and the downtown West Palm Beach is absolutely flourishing with activity. And a big part of that is the excitement and anticipation that in the next, you know, months, you're going to be able to get from West Palm Beach to Miami in 60 minutes. That's just not possible today.
You think a lot of people are going to commute to work in Miami?
I think some people will commute to work, but I think it's going to attract business travelers. You have a lot of tourists that will want to go between Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, and Miami. And certainly you will have a significant segment that will use it as commuters.
That's John Rennie, who is director of the Center for Urban and Environmental Solutions at Florida Atlantic University. John, thank you.
Thank you so much.